Welcome, everyone, to the PwC podcast. Really excited you're joining us today.
Yeah, great to be here. We're diving deep into something pretty universal today.
That's right. It's all about that tension between, well, easy temptation and, you know, lasting wisdom.
We're using some fantastic source material titled Guarding Your Path, Wisdom Over Temptation. It leans heavily on Proverbs chapter 5 specifically. Lots of ancient wisdom there.
And our mission, really, is to get under the hood of why those paths that trip us up, why they often look so appealing, they almost never look obviously wrong at first glance.
Exactly. Yeah. And then how does real wisdom actually guide us? Guide us toward what we really want, which is, you know, lasting joy and fulfillment.
So if you've ever maybe been tempted by something that seemed fine, maybe even exciting,
yeah,
only to look back later and think, oof, that led to regret, or just felt kind of empty, then this deep dive is definitely for you.
Let's jump in.
Okay, so the material starts with this foundational truth, something we all get. We all have this deep desire for a good life, right?
Absolutely. Joy, peace, love, feeling like your life matters, having purpose, it's baked into us.
And what's interesting is how the source frames it. It doesn't say that desire is bad. It calls it natural, even holy. We're actually meant to seek flourishing.
Right. That desire itself is good. The problem, the source points out, is that the paths leading away from that true flourishing, they rarely look bad.
They don't have warning signs all over them?
Not usually. They often look smooth, appealing, exciting. Sometimes we even find ways to justify them in the moment. That's the deceptive lure.
Masters of disguise. And Proverbs 5, it gives such a vivid picture of this, that warning about deceptive allure.
It really does.
It says, "The lips of the adulterous woman drip honey, but in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword."
Wow.
Yeah, that imagery. Honey now, but bitterness and like a sharp wound later, it's powerful.
And the source is quick to clarify, this isn't just about that one specific situation.
Not at all. That's the example. But the principle is much broader. It applies to anything that offers that quick, sweet hit of pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
While hiding a really significant, painful cost down the line.
Okay, so it could be lots of things. The material mentions stuff like that extra look that maybe lingers a bit too long.
Right. Subtle things sometimes.
Or that side deal that feels a little shady, maybe not quite honest. Or even that just once decision where you tell yourself it won't really matter.
Yeah, just this once. Famous last word sometimes.
It starts so small, like a whisper, the source says, but ends up causing real damage, a wound. So the big question then is, why do these things look so good at the start? If the end result is so clearly damaging, what's the appeal?
Well, that's the essence of the deception, isn't it? The immediate feeling, the thrill, maybe, or the comfort, the escape, what seems like a gain right now that's all front-loaded, you feel it immediately.
Okay.
The consequences, though, they're delayed,
yeah,
often hidden. You need a bit of foresight, maybe some experience, or just wisdom to see them coming.
And wisdom. It's different. Totally different. The source contrasts temptation's loudness with wisdom's quietness. Wisdom is described as loyal. It doesn't shout or force itself on you. It kind of waits. Waits for you to choose to listen.
I like that. It doesn't compete with the flashiness. But this core truth, the source emphasizes, is, well, it's pretty stark.
What's that?
That the very thing that feels so sweet and desirable right now is often actively sabotaging the future you actually want. The truly desirable future.
Oh, yeah. They seem connected, like a shortcut, but they're actually opposites. One undermines the other.
Exactly. And the consequence, Proverbs 5 spells it out pretty clearly. It says, at the end of your life, you will groan.
You will groan. Proverbs 5.11, that hits hard.
It really does. It's that sound of deep regret, isn't it? Looking back and seeing what you traded away, trading that future flourishing for something that just didn't last.
And the source connects that ancient warning right to us today, to our tendency, maybe my tendency sometimes, to prioritize whatever feels best right this second. Even if, deep down, we know it might undermine our long-term well-being, our relationships, our character, our peace.
So that raises the practical question, right? How do we fight against that, the pull of the immediate? How do we, you know, resist the honey when we suspect the gall is coming?
The material talks about needing a crucial shift, a shift in how we make decisions. We have to consciously move away from only asking, how does this feel right now?
Okay, that makes sense. Stop focusing only on the immediate feeling.
Yeah.
So what's the alternative? What should we be asking?
The key pivot, according to this wisdom, is to ask, what will still be good later? maybe way later.
Shifting the time frame.
Exactly.
Yep.
Moving your focus from just this isolated present moment to the future impact, the ripple effects. What will this look like years from now?
And it's not just about dodging the bad stuff, the groaning and regret.
No, not just avoidance. It's also about actively choosing the path that leads towards real flourishing, towards that deep, lasting joy. The source calls it walking in the light.
You know, talking about walking that path, trying to find wisdom, especially when temptation feels strong. That often feels like something that's, well, easier said than done alone.
That's a really good point. And actually, the source material we're looking at today specifically mentions the value of community in this.
Oh, interesting. How so?
It frames this whole journey of guarding your path as something that's often strengthened, maybe understood more deeply, when you're exploring it with others.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And it actually extends an invitation related to that, doesn't it?
It does. It invites you, the listener, to explore these kinds of vital ideas further within a supportive community setting.
Right. And that specific invitation is to visit PWC Pittsford Wesleyan Church. It connects this personal journey with a supportive community.
Yeah, it's a great connection. And beyond just the why, the material gives us something really practical, a tool we can actually use.
Okay, I like practical tools.
Me too. It's not just theory. It suggests asking the 10-year question.
The 10-year question. Okay, tell me more. Sounds like a handy little wisdom check.
It really is. And it's simple on the surface. The question is just, what will this decision, this action, this path, what will it look like 10 years from now?
Just pausing to actually project that out.
Exactly. Pause and honestly try to picture the likely outcome a decade down the road.
And the source gives us a way to kind of test the answer, right? Like, what if asking that makes you sort of cringe inwardly?
Yeah, or what if your gut reaction is that you'd have to hide this? Hide the decision or the answer to the question from people you love and respect.
Like your spouse or your kids. Or even, kind of an interesting idea, hide it from your future self, the person you hope to be in 10 years.
Right. If any of that happens, the wincing, the urge to hide the advice from this wisdom is incredibly clear. It's blunt, actually.
What is it?
Walk away. Just walk away.
Wow. That simple.
Yeah. It's presented as a powerful gut check. Those feelings are signals. Signals that the immediate sweetness is probably hiding that future bitterness, that gall.
Okay. That's a really useful filter. And then the source adds another layer, bringing God into the picture, referencing Proverbs 5 again.
It does, quoting verse 21, "For your ways are in full view of the Lord."
Now, that could sound a bit intimidating, maybe. Like being watched?
It could, but the interpretation offered here is actually really comforting, I think. It frames it less like surveillance and more like God sees the whole path ahead.
Not just the step you're about to take.
Right. God sees the consequences down the road that maybe you can't see yet. And the motive isn't primarily judgment, but protection, guidance, wanting to steer you away from future pain.
So it shifts from feeling judged to feeling guided, protected.
Exactly. It turns it into a source of security, actually. A reason to trust the guidance that might be nudging you away from the seemingly sweet path.
So thinking about using that 10-year question regularly and combining it with this idea of living transparently, knowing your path is seen by someone who wants to protect you, how might that actually change the little immediate choices we face every single day? It feels like it could really cut through the illusion of temptation sometimes.
I think it absolutely could. It forces that moment of clarity, doesn't it? And accountability. No. It just cuts through the noise of the immediate appeal.
Right.
It's acknowledging, okay, there's a bigger reality here than just what I feel or want in this exact second. Mm-hmm. Living with that awareness, you know, that you're seeing not mainly for judgment, but for protection. That can be a huge motivator.
Yeah.
A motivator to choose the path of wisdom, even when, maybe especially when, it feels less exciting right now.
Okay. Now, the source does something interesting near the end. It shifts perspective a bit, calls it a bonus view.
Yes, the bonus.
It makes this really important point. Guarding your path, choosing wisdom. It's not about restriction. It's not about living this boring, buttoned-up life where you miss out.
Quite the opposite, actually. The argument is that it's about actively gaining and being able to truly enjoy the things that genuinely matter most in life.
And it uses another quote from Proverbs 5 to show this positive side, right?
It does. A really beautiful contrast to the earlier warnings, verses 18 and 19. "Rejoice in the wife of your youth. May her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated with her love."
Intoxicated with her love. That's powerful language.
Yeah.
It paints this picture of committed, faithful love staying on their intended path as something deeply joyful, satisfying, even, well, intoxicating.
It's a world away from the groaning and bitterness we talked about earlier, isn't it?
Completely. It frames faithfulness, staying true to wisdom's path, not as losing out, but as the only way to actually gain and hold on to the deeper, more vibrant, more lasting joy.
The very joy that fleeting temptation promises but can never actually deliver long term, you gain everything you might have been tempted to trade away.
It ties it all back so well to that initial desire we talked about, that natural, holy desire for a good life.
Yeah. Wisdom isn't the enemy of joy, it's the path to it. The path that helps you find it and, crucially, keep it.
So the material wraps up with this kind of final reflective thought. It's presented almost like a prayer, or maybe a heartfelt plea.
Right. It's a recognition, I think, that doing this isn't always easy, that we might need help.
What does it ask for?
It's essentially a request for help to walk in wisdom, help to see beyond the surface appeal, the shimmer of temptation, help to remember what's truly at stake in our choices, and ultimately for our hearts and our steps to be guided towards what is true and good and lasting.
And that really leaves us with something powerful to mull over, doesn't it? What if the key isn't just gritting our teeth and trying harder with willpower alone?
Yeah.
What if it's about having the humility to ask for the help we need, help to simply see things clearly, and to stay guided towards what's genuinely good both now and 10 years from now?
Acknowledging that need for guidance, that might be the wisest step of all sometimes.
Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive today on guarding your path, wisdom over temptation. If anything we talked about struck a chord with you, maybe that little nudge you sometimes feel.
Yeah, that quiet voice of wisdom.
We really encourage you, don't just brush it off.
Follow that thread. Keep thinking about what it means for you in your life to guard your path by choosing wisdom over fleeting temptation.
And as the source material suggested, exploring these things in community can make a real difference.
Absolutely. So we invite you to visit PWC Pittsford Wesleyan Church.
Thank you so much for listening to the PWC podcast. Join us this Sunday at 11 a.m.